Welcome to the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Football, rankings, debates, dad stuff, with your host, Justin Williams and Matt Renshaw.
And welcome everyone to this edition of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. I am your host, Justin Williams, and with me as always, my good friend, Matt Renshaw. Matt, how are you today?
Good, man. You went a higher octave there on that.
A little bit.
Why? You're right.
I'm okay. Well, Matt, welcome to the show, and as always, welcome our listeners to the show. Hello, right. Listeners. We are brought to you by DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
The number one place to go for all your dynasty football needs. Now, Matt, what a week!
Lots of news.
A lot of cuts. A lot of cuts happened.
Everybody's favorite sleeper is no longer on a roster.
A lot of guys got cut. The most shocking, Travis Fulgham. But yeah, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Talk about a guy that just fell off a cliff.
And I know last week, Matt, we talked about bringing hot takes, but we're not going to do that this week. We're not going to do it.
We still have a week until the season starts. Yeah, they got to boil.
A hot take episode is next week, so if you're tuning in just for that, sorry, you're going to have to wait. But I promise we have some fun stuff to talk about today. But before we do, family story. Go ahead, Matt. Tell me about the Renshaws.
So we put in new carpet, or in the process of putting in new carpet in our house, and we went over and had a big old, because we're currently not living in our house that we bought. We're doing all these projects, and we're knocking out walls and moving plumbing lines, and that's fun stuff. So we got new carpet yesterday, and we go over, and my kids, the girls start like dancing and playing music or whatever, and like rolling around on the carpet. And my son, who's like 14 months old, is like watching them. And then all of a sudden, dude face plants into the carpet and just starts doing like barrel rolls, like just rolling around playing on the carpet. I'm like, who knew that carpet? Like carpet and cardboard boxes are the two best toys for kids. My daughters literally just played on it for 30, 45 minutes while we were checking to make sure everything was good. I'm like, that's nuts.
Yeah. That and like bubble wrap.
Yeah. Kids yeah.
Love bubble wrap.
We're popping them. And yeah, my middle one loves that stuff. So it was just weird. It was one of those.
Speaking of rap, have you listened to Donda yet by Kanye?
I have not listened to Donda. I have listened to 2 minutes. Of what song did you recommend?
Heaven and Hell.
Okay.
Is amazing.
I listened to 2 minutes of it between classes today. I don't hate it.
Okay. Wow. That's so, way more positive than I thought you were going
to
be.
I haven't listened to the whole thing. I hear it's a masterful art piece or art masterpiece or something.
And like all music is art, but this is art. This is like fine art. That's what this is.
Like a mega jello sculpture.
The album is longer than Boss Baby 2, Matt.
How do you know that? Like you said that.
I seen it on Reddit. Like somebody was reviewing it and that they actually like pulled timestamps. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I knew it was long. I didn't realize it was like that though.
Boss Baby 2.
Boss Baby 2 is horrible.
Never saw it. Well, don't want to see it.
Boss Baby 1. Top notch. Boss Baby 2.
No, I didn't even like Boss Baby 1.
Boss Baby was funny. I could sit through Boss Baby. Easy.
I could sit through Boss Baby. I'll give you that.
See, that's good to me for family movies anymore. Can I sit through it? Speaking of family.
Yeah, I was like, tell me your family story.
Well, it's kind of, I guess it has to do with movies. We sat down and we watched Cruella.
Oh, okay. I started watching that too and fell asleep.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay. It's not the greatest movie ever, but I liked it. I think I liked it more than anybody else in the family.
Where, spoiler alert, if you are listening to this and going to watch Cruella and you haven't yet, stop it. Skip ahead. This
is terrible.
Her mom dies by Dalmatian? Like,
terrible.
Stop it.
Terrible.
Get out of here. And that's as far as I got.
There is this trend with Disney in general.
They kill parents.
That just loves parents' death.
Yes.
And I don't get it. It's with ESPN. ESPN will go out of their way to tell you if an athlete's parents are dead.
NFL draft prospect.
It's like they can't tell a feel-good story without including someone close to that person dying.
Yeah.
It's incredibly lazy. Incredibly lazy.
I'm like, wait a minute. Of course, Dalmatians kill her mom. So now she hates Dalmatians.
Even that whole thing didn't really make a ton of... I hated it. I hated that part of it. And I would watch an entire movie of that little girl being... Like, little girl Cruella
yeah.
works great. I thought the whole movie was going to be like that until, like, the last, like, half hour. But no, it's just entirely... Yeah. That part was great. That actress was fun to watch.
Emma Stone not?
Oh, dude, I love Emma Stone. My wife gives me crap. Like, Emma Stone is my celebrity crush. 100%. Love Emma Stone. So my wife gives me crap the whole time.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Only reason you're watching it. Jennifer Lawrence?
That's mine.
That's not bad.
That's mine.
That's not bad. No, but the whole movie is, in general, is just okay. I really liked Horace and what's the other guy's name? The other bad guy.
I don't know.
They were funny. Anyways, Carly's still in school. She hasn't gotten kicked out yet.
That's good. Good. Football? And
the boy had his second football game, tackle football game. Went all right. He got completely moved to left guard. Like, exclusively, he's not playing defense. Before, he was switching back. He was playing both sides. So last game, I'm not sure if that's going to be what's going to keep happening or what, but it is what it is, Matt.
Umberuski.
I know, like, he's making good blocks. I don't know if it's because he's, like, not able to keep up or they just really need an offensive lineman to be fresh. I don't know.
Yeah.
He plays every snap on offense, though.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah.
Hey, those linemen get paid. Think of that.
Well, yeah, we'll see. I think he'd be good at defense, though, but not my team. That's right.
Coach of the year, though. I hear that coach is a stud.
He's a great coach. You and I know him personally. He's a douchebag and a completely terrible person. Like, I am not arguing that, but he is a great coach for those kids, and those kids love him. It's ridiculous.
That's good. I'm not going to talk back.
Outside of that, piece of shit. All right, let's get into it, Matt. News and notes. I can't wait for him to hear that. Then my son won't play left guard at all. He'll just...
He's done. He's off the team.
Congratulations, Carson. You're punting.
Oh, we're off to a great start.
All right. Some somber news, I suppose. The Saints are going to be forced to hold their home opener against the Packers in Jacksonville. The aftermath of Hurricane Ida leaving much of New Orleans without power has forced the Saints to open their season elsewhere. Saints are on the road in weeks 2 and 3, so their first chance for a true home game will come in week 4. Now, the Superdome itself has not suffered any damage, so the Saints should be able to return home as soon as the city's infrastructure is repaired. Depending on that timeline, it's possible that the Saints won't return to their home stadium until week 8 when they host the Buccaneers. Matt, are there any fantasy implications here for you?
I mean, not really. Maybe because they're moving from a dome to a field. I was kind of shocked that they didn't play in Texas somewhere, either in Houston or Dallas, closer. I don't know. I think closer to Louisiana. Domes, very similar, that the schedules matched up. I was kind of shocked to see him go to Jacksonville.
Yeah, a little different. I don't think it has much of a, much of a fantasy like
impact. Where did Jameis Winston have his surgery for his eye, his LASIK? Was it in Florida? He's a great quarterback now.
Yeah.
I don't. Crab legs, those are in Florida, and Winston's the starter. He's in his home state, Florida State. I don't know. No, I don't see many implications.
Yeah. Like from a gambling standpoint, I wouldn't want to touch it.
Really?
Yeah, it changes everything. You don't have that home field advantage at all. And it's Jacksonville, so there's probably not going to be anybody there anyways. Yeah,
Jags fans don't show up to watch the Jags, so.
Wouldn't that be great if they have, like, their best attendance of the year? New Orleans teams are there. Yeah. I hope that happens.
That'd be funny. Cool. That'd be funny.
Let's see. Oh, and of course.
I thought you were going to go to, like, you went from Carson being moved to punter to, like, Detroit didn't keep a kicker.
No, well, they didn't keep a kicker yesterday. They cut their only two kickers on the roster. And then they turned around, though, today, and they picked someone up off of waivers. So.
Yeah, from Cincinnati.
I scratched that story from the rundown here. Oh. All right, let's talk about the Broncos. The NFL Network's Ian Rapoport reports that the Broncos plan on waiving running back Royce Freeman. As 9 News' Mike Kliss noted, probably, Denver may hold on to Freeman for a few days in an attempt to trade him. Freeman played well in the preseason. His rushing workload has been scaled back since his rookie season, but he did manage to find 43 receptions in 2019. After failing to establish himself as anything more than a backup caliber runner, Freeman's trade market will be slim at best. Matt, Broncos running backs. You got rookie Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon, and Mike Boone. That's your backfield. How do you see this playing out in Denver?
Williams carries it, is a mid to high RB2.
Mid to high RB2. Then what does that mean for Melvin Gordon?
He'll see some. They basically healthy scratched Williams week 4 of the preseason. And they wanted to showcase Gordon, so somebody might trade for him. I think that backfield's all Williams. Do I think Gordon's going to get his carries? Yeah, I think he'll get some carries, but I'm not investing heavily in him. But going back to Freeman, his dynasty stock could increase leaving Denver. He ends up in, I don't know, Jacksonville or Atlanta or maybe even Baltimore. I think you see an uptick in his – in his value. Now, I don't think it's changing drastically, but I think he's worth more in those places than he was in Denver. Do you agree?
About Melvin Gordon?
No, about Royce Freeman.
Oh, Freeman's garbage.
Just garbage. In-depth reporting.
I'm not high on Freeman at all. I'm surprised it took this long to get him off the roster. I mean, they're not going to trade him. They're going to end up cutting him.
They're going to have to. It's like when someone puts, I don't know, their third defense on the trade block and goes, well, I'm going to trade him.
I haven't heard any rumblings about Todd Gurley, not in Denver, but just in general. Like, that just shows you, like, running backs are just, like, available right now. Like, you don't need a guy like Royce Freeman.
It's true. Yeah, that's fair.
You just don't. By the way, best ball pickup or best ball tip. Todd Gurley, not a bad late flyer.
He's not on a roster. You just said
exactly. He's going to be, though. Todd Gurley is not going to go unclaimed the entire season.
Give me Frank Gore over Todd Gurley.
No, stop it. Todd Gurley's going to end up somewhere. I'm not saying he's going to be good, but he's going to end up somewhere.
Frank Gore.
Do you have any love for Mike Boone at all?
He's the third running back there. I like Mike Boone from a football standpoint, but fantasy standpoint, you're never going to play him.
There's some serious value to be had with Mike Boone. He's going practically undrafted in almost every format. I agree he should. But you got to remember, you have a rookie in front of him and Melvin Gordon, who doesn't exactly have the best injury history. Mike Boone, there's a scenario. If we look into my crystal balls here, Matt, there's a scenario. Mike Boone has a couple of really good games as just like the guy.
He did in Minnesota. Right. I mean, he did okay.
There's some talent there.
And they obviously liked him because they went out and got him and got rid of Philip Lindsay and now Royce Freeman. So, yeah, I'm not.
In deeper leagues, if it's a deep roster, Mike Boone should be on a roster.
On somebody's roster.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe he's a renegade.
Maybe he is a Renshaw renegade. It's possible. Irv Smith Jr. underwent meniscus surgery Wednesday, which is likely to end his 2021 season. Smith's recovery timetable is 4 to 5 months, which puts his entire 2021 season in doubt. Behind Smith, backup Tyler Conklin has recovered from his hammy injury and set to play in week 1. Conklin has a career yards per route run of just 1.0. and is unlikely to deliver a strong fantasy season unless he monopolizes tight end snaps. Conklin's chances of doing that took a big hit when the Vikings traded for Chris Herndon. The former Jet looked like he was an emerging star as a rookie in 2018. He was then abysmal in his 2 seasons under Adam Gase, as is customary. If Herndon can recapture his early career form, the pass catching tight end could be fantasy relevant this season. No, you're not on Chris Herndon.
I'm not
shook your head violently.
I'm not on Chris Herndon. How many times do you have to be let down by a guy?
But I feel like I can, like, I feel like the Adam Gase thing is a real, like,
I do too. I have said that on multiple occasions.
Yeah.
But he couldn't beat out Tyler Kroft with this new coaching staff.
I will not sit here and let you disparage the good goddamn name of Tyler Kroft.
I'm not. I'm just, he didn't beat Tyler Kroft. So obviously Tyler Kroft most is guys better than Irv Smith. I feel like Irv Smith has become O.J. Howard.
Yeah, Irv Smith is very close to O.J. Howard.
He's going to break out. And then he never does.
Just completely. Yeah, this sucks. You hate giving a guy that label because of an injury. But
here, pick one of these three tight ends that all are very similar. Okay, Irv Smith.
Mm-hmm.
O.J. Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And David Njoku. Because they all came out.
I would take Irv Smith and then Njoku after that. And then OJ Howard would be a distant third. I'd almost rather play with nobody at my tight end position.
I'm going to lose me points.
See, Irv Smith played 16 games his rookie season 2019, where he got you 36 catches, 311 yards, 2 touchdowns. Kyle Rudolph was very relevant at that time. Last season, 2020. Wait, no. Yes.
Last season was 2020.
Yes. Last season. How could I forget? Such a great year for everything. 2020, he played in 13 games, in which he had less receptions. So he had 30 receptions, 365 yards, 5 touchdowns. So definitely more involved as far as like the game plan goes, but still nothing really to write home about. You're not going to win a league off of that.
Right.
I don't know. This is the third year, Matt. We've talked about this many a time. Third year
tight end breakout.
Third year tight ends, man. That's when they start to click. They figure it out. It just sucks. It really, really sucks. But for you to just poo-poo Chris Herndon, my goodness.
I would rather have Tyler Conklin.
No, stop it.
Are you serious?
Did you not hear what I said? Conklin has a career yards per route run of just 1.0. Conklin is not a pass catcher.
Give me Tyler Conklin over Irv Smith this year. And that has to be a hot take.
Over Irv Smith, yes.
I'm sorry. Okay. Over Herndon.
I'll literally bet you almost anything in the world that Herndon has a better fantasy season than
Conklin. Anything in the world?
I'm really confident in that.
I love it. I love it. We're going to do that. We're going to do something.
That's an easy one.
Okay. Give me Tyler Conklin.
Yeah. This is like the water bet or whatever that those ESPN buffoons do. So sure. That's what we should do.
Water bet?
Not a water bet. Like we should come up with something similar. And we should.
I don't know what we're always doing.
We do this every week. We debate about at least one guy. And you're usually completely wrong. And I'm false. Very right. And
We need to track this. Once a week bet, I'm in.
I don't know about once a week. I don't want to force it. I'm just saying when we we should be tracking these.
Okay. What's a water bet? What do you do? Pour water on yourself? Like
no, they. I don't. I think like for everyone that you're right, the other guy has to pour water on themselves. I don't know. I haven't listened in a long time. It's been years. Tyler Conklin, though. My oh god, jeez, why? He has played in almost every game in the past three seasons, 16, 15, 16. Last season, he had a remarkable 26 targets. He caught 19 of them. That's pretty high percentage. Almost 200 yards. Not bad. One touchdown in three seasons.
I think of Herndon.
In three seasons, Conklin's had 32 catches.
Which is more than Herndon.
But he's had 32 catches and he's played in 47 games.
One catch a game.
Give me Herndon all day long.
I can't wait for this one.
He does catch water everything bed. That comes his way, though. 75% catch percentage.
Look at that.
Yeah. I mean, when you only get that many passes thrown to you, I guess.
But he's efficient.
God, we got to come up with something. That's an easy one for me. Slam dunk.
Awesome.
Slam dunk.
I have Conklin like everywhere.
That's fine. I'm trying my best to get Herndon everywhere I had Irv Smith Jr.
I just don't see it.
The Giants have still yet to decide Saquon Barkley's week one availability. Barkley still has a few more key practices he needs to go through. Most signs have pointed towards Barkley being out there against the Broncos, but we will have to wait and see for anything definitive. Let's see. If Barkley does suit up, the possibility of a snap count is very real. The G-men will issue their first official injury report no later than next Wednesday, Matt. Probably right when we go on the air.
Yeah, we'll know.
Yeah. So, Saquon Barkley, the tea leaves say he's active week one. You have to start him.
Absolutely. Right?
He's that kind of talent.
Yes. His quarterback's terrible.
Right.
But yes, you're starting Barkley week one. You're starting Barkley whenever, yes. Whenever he's available.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think anybody doing anything less, it's hard to envision a scenario where you see Barkley active and you can't start him or you don't start him.
Right.
Yeah. So I know it's complete green light for me. Sounds like it's the same for you.
I would absolutely start him. There's very few times that I would not start him.
Well, speaking of the Giants, John Ross made the Giants' initial 53-man roster. The Giants kept 7 wide receivers, including John Ross, Dante Pettis, and C.J. Board, who were all believed to be on the bubble. Matt, I'm only bringing up the John Ross news so I can get to this part. Okay. I want you to rank the Giants' wide receivers for me. As a little reminder, you have Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, Kenny Golladay, John Ross, Kadarius Toney?
Toney? Yep.
Tony, probably Dante Pettis and CJ Board. Who's the obviously CJ Board's at the bottom of that list.
Okay, right? Yep. I can say.
Let's start Board from the bottom. Who's above CJ Board?
Pettis.
And then John Ross.
Then Ross.
Yeah. Then we're talking Tony. Dynasty here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then Tony. Then Slayton, Shepard, Golladay.
Slayton, Shepard, Golladay. So you got Golladay as number one, Slayton as your number two.
Yeah. Shepard is my two.
Okay. Shepard's your two.
Slayton three, Ross five, Tony four. Yeah.
I'm pretty confident that's how like the Giants would rank their guys too.
Yeah.
I don't think you're wrong at all.
Well, and if Evan Ingram's out, they're debating about putting him on the IR. These wide receivers are going to get more play.
I love Tony. I don't think you get anything out of him that's relevant this year, but I love Tony and his talent. Dude's fast. Like fast.
So was Ruggs, and he did nothing.
There's some people that are pretty high on Ruggs this year. We're going to get to it.
Yeah, John Gruden and Mike Mayock, about the only two that I know of.
Well, I mean, that's fair, but – would it, and I hate doing it. I love doing that, so I know you hate it. Would it shock you if I told you there's a scenario in which Darius Slayton has more fantasy points this season than any of the others in the Giants organization?
No, that wouldn't shock me.
And you obviously wouldn't be shocked if I said Golladay does that.
No.
Would you be shocked if I said Sterling Shepard does that?
No. If you said John Ross or Tony did, yeah, no way.
So if Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, and Kenny Golladay all have these scenarios in your head and mine too, in which they could end up being the number one Giants wide receiver, doesn't that mean that, without looking at rankings, doesn't that mean like that Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard have amazing value?
Just because they could become their top option doesn't mean let's flip it. Is Detroit situation, one of those guys is going to be the top wide receiver for that team. Who do you want?
Oh, well, I think it's a little different. I think Detroit's a complete dumpster fire and nobody is going to like have fantasy relevance there.
Nobody?
No, I don't think DeAndre Swift does. I don't think Hockenson does. I don't think Goff does. I don't think any of them are viable fantasy candidates. Maybe a couple times, but they're not going to be like consistently viable. The Giants are a little different. the Giants offense seems to be going places, and I think fantasy wise they're going to be just fine.
Not with Danny Dimes at the helm.
Man, let's give it another season and then we'll go from there.
Oh gosh.
I'm giving Dimes one more season. Last year was I think we should throw our hands up at last year completely for everybody. Everyone gets a mulligan last year. You get a mulligan, you get a mulligan, you all get mulligans, everyone gets a mulligan. I don't think that's fair. Sterling Shepard, this is his sixth year in the season in the NFL. Excuse me. The last two seasons, he hasn't played a full 16 game slate. He had 12 games last year, 10 games the year before that. He, in those two seasons, if you want to talk, you know, touchdowns, he's only had three touchdowns in each. 656 yards last season, 576 the year before that. If Sterling Shepard is your number one wideout,
for fantasy purposes or for the NFL?
Like for the NFL, his NFL numbers are not translating. He's never been fantasy relevant. Like that's not good enough to get you to start him over. You know, I don't know. He's not starting on fantasy rosters is what I'm trying to say out here.
No, he's not.
I don't know, man. That's a weird situation. I think if you're doing a startup or whatever, or best ball league,
I'm avoiding
take
all
one or two of them and you're fine.
Ugh, gross. All of them are gross.
Kenny Galladay have 1,000 yards receiving this year?
Yeah.
1,100?
A little more than 1,100. You don't think?
Give me the under on 11.
Ooh. I don't know. I mean, if he plays, he's hurt. I mean, being hurt doesn't help.
Kenny Galladay with 950 yards and eight touchdowns makes perfect sense to me.
You're the gambler. What's the line?
I have no idea. I have no idea. And DraftKings is being screwy right now, so I can't even look. The Colts signed wide receiver Kiki Cootie, probably.
You're not gonna transition right into the Evan Ingram story?
No, I'm gonna get to it. I want to talk about my boy Kiki.
Of course you do.
The Colts signed wide receiver Kiki Cootie, or Kute, as he's formerly known, to their practice squad. The former Texan slot wideout hooks on with the team he did the most damage against, which I found that to be interesting. In four games against the Colts, Kute has 27 catches for 328 yards and a touch. Kute is a no lock to be he's no lock to be elevated to the roster, but he does profile as the maybe the new Paris Campbell backup in the slot if something happens.
Mm-hmm. Didn't Kanye write a song about him or something?
You're thinking about Drake.
Oh, Drake.
Kiki, do you love me?
That's the one.
You're writing.
Is that album art too or?
No, that's trash. Oh. Drake does have another album dropping though. I'm pretty sure it drops this month. Certified Lover Boy. Mm. The album cover art is trash. It's terrible. It's a bunch of different ethnicities, women of a bunch of different ethnicities that are clearly pregnant. And the pregnant emoji one.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Nice. It looked like you could hire a fourth grader to do it. And that's what they'd come up with.
So he went to Fiverr and said, hey, design my.
Yeah. It looks like something you'd get off of Fiverr. It's terrible. Terrible, terrible. Got some more tight end trouble for you, Matt. The Athletic's Dan Duggan reports that the Giants plan to evaluate Evan Ingram before deciding whether to place him on the IR. With Ingram having made the 53-man roster, he is now eligible to return from the IR after missing just three games. Ingram was the only player missing from Tuesday's practice, and it appears from the calf injury he suffered in the Giants preseason game is a real threat to cost him multiple games this season. Ingram should be viewed as highly doubtful for week one, at best, according to Roto World, or whatever they changed their name to.
NBC Sports Edge.
I won't call it that. Just like I won't call the Peacock streaming service anything other than the cock.
That was never its name, though.
What? They call it Peacock, right? Gotta sit down and watch the cock.
Yeah, whatever.
And watch the cock tonight. Are you a cock subscriber, Matt?
No.
You subscribe to the cock?
No.
Oh, it's great. I love
it. I don't have a house right now, so I don't subscribe to anything.
Oh, you can watch it on your phone, your streaming devices. It's great.
No.
A lot of shows on the cock.
Isn't that where the office is?
Yeah, they have the office on the cock.
Okay.
It's great. Absolutely great. You ever see that one episode of The Office where Jim looks at the camera and makes like a really funny face after he said that one thing?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, love it.
The Office is the greatest television show in modern history.
It's sincerely, it's the most overrated show in American television history.
Friends.
Oh, Friends was not overrated. Friends is like the 90s in a like TV show. It's crazy.
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld's great. You can watch Seinfeld today and still be like laughing.
Frasier.
I never really got into Frasier. I'm not going to say anything about Frasier.
So those are like the big four, I think, when you talk about TV shows.
I agree. Too bad The Office was a ripoff of another show.
It was Americanized.
Yeah, I know. And they ruined it, honestly. Trying not to be a snob.
But have you watched the British version?
Yes.
Oh, and you like it better.
I like it better. Yeah, that's fair. I don't like it, but I like it better.
You mean that time Ricky Gervais looked at the camera and made a funny face?
For some reason, since they have an accent, it makes it better.
I'm going to start giving fantasy advice with a British accent.
There you go. At least people.
And maybe that's why you like Governor. Is that Governor. Why?
Hello, Governor. The Titans waived wide receiver Dez Fitzpatrick, probably. The move is a bit of a head-scratcher as the Titans selected Fitzpatrick in the fourth round of the most recent draft to backfill their depleted receiving room. They even traded up with the Panthers to lock him in. Despite subbing out Corey Davis for Julio Jones, Tennessee was still in search of good depth options at wide receiver this offseason. Now, with Titans coaches and beat writers alike noting throughout the summer that Fitzpatrick was struggling in practice, his absence from the final roster is more defensible. He will likely draw interest from multiple teams given his fourth round pedigree. Matt, if you were a guy that had their dynasty draft this offseason, you took Fitzpatrick, what would your recommendation be?
I mean, right now, hold and see where he ends up, but
he's going to end up somewhere.
You think?
Yeah. He's not going to go his entire rookie season without being picked up somewhere.
I'll be on somebody's practice squad, but I don't think he's going to be active.
No. I don't think we're not going to see Fitzpatrick magic this year.
Maybe he goes to the football team. Fitzpatrick to Fitzpatrick.
They do seem desperate for wide receiver help outside of magic squared. Terry. Fitzpatrick squared.
Stop it. You don't like Curtis Samuel?
No. I think a lot of people are trying to make Curtis Samuel work, and it feels like a round peg in like a square hole. Like, everyone's just trying to talk themselves into Curtis Samuel. I think it's embarrassing.
Square peg, round hole.
Whatever. It's still embarrassing. Like,
Curtis Samuel was like a wide receiver two last year.
Yeah. He had a really good year, and then he changed
in
teams.
In Carolina.
And now I'm supposed to believe that Curtis Samuel in Washington receiving passes from Ryan Fitzpatrick for Lord knows how many games is supposed to be just as good? Like, no thanks. I'm out. I mean, he did. So he started 5 games last year in Carolina, played 15 games, less than 100 catches, 850
Teddy
yards.
Bridgewater was his quarterback.
850 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, PPR monster.
He also rushed 41 times.
Yes.
41 times, 200 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Holy smokes. I did not realize that.
Curtis Samuel is a sneaky.
Still kind of trash, play. Though.
Whatever.
Where's Curtis Samuel going in drafts? Do you have any idea?
I can definitely find that for you.
I'm willing to bet you my reaction is that's way too high.
Probably because you don't like good players.
Curtis Samuel's a good player? Excuse me?
How do you not like Curtis Samuel?
Excuse me? How do you not like Adam Thielen? So you'll call Curtis Samuel a good player, but you won't call Adam Thielen a good player?
Curtis Samuel currently being drafted 85th overall.
Yeah, that's way too high. That's way too high.
Other wide receivers around them, according to our sponsor. Who's our sponsor?
Hit me with the name game. DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
Hit me with the name game. Let's go.
Curtis Samuel or Darnell Mooney?
Mooney.
Curtis Samuel or Jarvis Landry?
Oh, it's my boy Juice.
I knew you were going to go there. Curtis Samuel or Michael Gallup?
Michael Gallup.
All three are being drafted behind Curtis Samuel, according to DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating. That's not surprising to me.
Let's move up, though. Okay, Curtis Samuel or Terrace Marshall Jr.?
Terrence Marshall Jr. He's having a great preseason. I think a lot of the Carolina offense. Give me Marshall Jr.
Curtis Samuel or Debo Samuel.
Debo.
Yeah. Here, this is pretty, this is funny. Within 10 draft spots, Adam Thielen or Curtis Samuel.
That's so crazy. Adam Thielen with like, and I wouldn't even bat an eye at that. Curtis Samuel's ranked too high.
I don't think so.
I'm sorry, calculator nerds. He's ranked too high.
I would take Samuel over Gallup. Samuel and Robbie Anderson have pretty similar spots here. Anderson, I would take Curtis Samuel. Yeah, Will Fuller, Curtis Samuel. Give me Curtis.
There's
Samuel.
A really good chance we all look at Anderson at the end of the season and be like, wow, a lot of people missed.
He's a wide receiver three on his own team.
He's going to have a huge year. He's underrated. Huge year.
Huge? Curtis, are you Robbie Anderson or Terrace Marshall Jr.?
Anderson.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like, it wouldn't shock me if Anderson has a bigger year than DJ Moore either.
Wow.
Yep. Fantasy-wise? Yep.
Wow.
Anderson's good.
I am shocked at that because I do not think
that Carolina offense is going to be lit.
And then you have to like Sam Darnold.
I do like Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold is really underrated too. I think Sam Darnold is going to be like a pig in shit. Like, he's going to have a great freaking year.
He's dead serious. Adam Gase. And...
like, he's going to do really well. And then I hate to say this because I know I feel like we've said this every preseason since we started this stupid show. I love Matt Stafford this year.
Oh, so do I. Absolutely.
Best situation of his entire career.
Top five quarterback this year?
It's like totally reasonable. It's totally reasonable. And then you have the coach McVay, right?
Yeah.
McVay doesn't have to like put – he can take the training wheels off. Dude. It's like, oh, my God, I have a great quarterback here. I have Matthew frickin' Stafford.
Yep.
I'm so happy for Stafford. He's gonna just ball out this year. Ball out. Speaking of talent, the Raiders released wide receiver John Brown. Sorry, I almost made it through it. I almost did it. They released John Brown. Brown supposedly requested his release, but this move had been telegraphed for several days now. It did not seem implausible that Brown would emerge as the Raiders' de facto number one wide receiver upon his signing in March, but instead, Coach John Gruden seemed to think Brown didn't have any legs left. He will undoubtedly get another opportunity elsewhere as a field stretcher. The Raiders are moving forward with their young guns, Henry Ruggs and Brian Edwards, alongside veterans Willie Snead and Hunter Renfrow. It's not a great situation for Derek Carr. Matt, Derek Carr, what are your thoughts on him from a dynasty perspective?
Is he going to stay a starter long term? It seems like every offseason we go, oh, he's going to get replaced, or oh, Gruden's going to go get Deshaun Watson, or oh, Gruden's going to go out and get Matt Stafford. And there's always rumors, but the dude continues to play, plays well. He's probably a quarterback two in the Superflex League, mid to high.
If it seems like at best, Derek Carr is a spot start guy, a bye week fill-in. A matchup dependent quarterback start for you, for anybody. That's how I feel about him.
You don't think you start him every week?
I don't. I think if you're really thinking long and hard about having to start Mr. Carr, get in the car. If you have to start the car every week, I really feel like you're in trouble.
Derek Carr or Daniel Jones?
Danny Dimes.
Gross.
No problem.
Give me Carr.
Carr. One gets to throw to Kenny Galladay. The other gets to throw to Henry Ruggs.
Edwards? Or wait. Waller? Waller is the wide receiver.
Yeah, Waller is a bigger one. And we're going to talk about Waller here in a second. But I'm not done with Derek Carr. Okay. If Derek Carr has a couple of bad games, it is, and I'm not high on Marcus Mariota. I don't think Mariota is more talented or a better quarterback. But if Carr has a couple of bad games in a row, you got to believe Mariota is going to take that spot. And then lose it in all likelihood. But he's going to take it.
I'm looking at other numbers like Carr around other quarterbacks and Carr or Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins.
And you pick Jones over Carr. Carr, yeah. Or
very low on Carr.
Dynasty value. Here we go. Carr or Tom Brady?
depends on the rest of the roster, you know that. But yeah, if I have a competing team, it's Brady. If I'm completely restarting, sure, I'll take Carr.
Carr or Drew Lock? This is not that hard.
It's Carr.
Yeah. Okay. Carr. All right. I won't make it hard on you. I was going to say Jimmy G or Carr, Dynasty.
Oh, Valley. Jimmy G all the way.
In Dynasty?
Yeah. Jimmy G is going to lose his job, I think, just because of the pressure. But Jimmy G, I think we're going to see eventually start where? Somewhere else.
Where?
I don't know. A lot can change in a season. You know that.
Football team needs a quarterback next year.
I mean, the NFL is always looking for good quarterbacks. There's always a good handful of team. The bottom third of the league needs an upgrade at quarterback. And I think Jimmy G is better than the bottom third of the league. Just Trey Lance has just so much fire around him right now. It's going to have to do it.
Hype.
If Jimmy G doesn't play perfectly the first 4 weeks, he's not going to keep that job. It's unfair, but it's how it is. Darren Waller versus the highest scoring Raiders wide receiver. I'll give you the entire field. Who racks up more fantasy points come the season end?
Waller.
Is it it's by a lot though, right?
It's by a lot.
Like if it was I'll give you Waller with I don't know.
You could give me two Raiders wide receivers and I would still take Waller.
Oh, you get to pick any two?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The top two wide receivers, one of them has to beat out Waller. Yeah.
I'm thinking you could
doesn't make sense. I mean,
you could do Edwards and Ruggs. I would take Waller over Edwards and Ruggs.
Well, the question was I'll give you every one of them though. I'll give you the entire wide receiver core for the Raiders.
Oh,
versus does Waller? One of them does one of them outscore Darren Waller at the end of the season? I don't think so either.
Not even close. That's what I'm saying. You could take two of them and add them together. And I don't think two of them outscore Darren
Waller. Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy. You take two wide receivers and compare them. Like if you add their totals up, you're gonna find a pair that outscores Darren Waller this year. Yeah. The 1-2 in Oakland or Las Vegas. Holy God.
Whoa.
The 1-2 in Las Vegas are going to combine. They're gonna outscore Darren Waller. That's not difficult. And the look you're giving me is just...
I don't know if it's that far.
I think we need to work on math, and then you'll understand what I'm trying to say.
Darren Waller was if you put his numbers and wide receiver numbers, was the wide receiver 3 last year.
Had a tremendous season.
Right, and he's going to be better this year. Who was the Raiders wide
receiver? Don't you think maybe the book is out now? Don't you think if you're... Matt Renshaw, the defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, playing against the Raiders. What do you think the first thing you're going to talk about to your team is? Okay, we're going to figure out how to stop Darren Waller. Wouldn't you think? There's nothing else.
Figure that out last year, late in the year, when he blew up?
You cover over the top so Henry Ruggs doesn't get too deep on you, and then you figure out how to cover Darren Waller.
Wait, you who hates Derek Carr doesn't think that other teams they don't respect Derek Carr. You can't throw a deep ball to Henry Ruggs.
But that's it, though. That's the only thing you got to worry about.
This seems like a poll, a Twitter poll. Who would you rather have? Who scores more points, Darren Waller or the number one and number two wide receivers for the Raiders?
I don't think it's a good poll.
Oh, well. I'm putting it out there.
Henry Ruggs has the best possibility of being that wide receiver one in Vegas, right?
No, Edwards.
Give me Ruggs all day.
Is that a water bet?
That might be a water bet. And we got to come up with a name this week. That'll be our goal.
Yeah.
The Eagles waived wide receiver Travis Fulgham. We knew Fulgham was on the bubble, but it is somewhat surprising that he is one of the We knew Fulgham was on the bubble, but it is still somewhat surprising for one of the league's shakiest receiver cores. The Eagles would apparently rather give J.J. Arcega-Whiteside his 19th opportunity. Fulgham will undoubtedly be stashed on the practice squad if he clears waivers. the 25-year-old caught 38 balls for 539 yards in a heroic spot starting duty last season. Have we seen a fall from grace like this since we started the show? I'm being genuinely serious. Fulgham was, we had crazy trades coming in from Twitter telling us what they're paying for Fulgham, what they're selling Fulgham for. We had people DM us about Fulgham.
I know one guy that traded, who was it? Metcalf and Fulgham for Barkley.
Yep.
That's a good, it's a good deal.
Thank you. I was really happy with Barkley. But
no, I'm trying to think. So who was Laquon Treadwell? Is that similar? He never had a big...
But I said a fall from grace. Laquon Treadwell was had like, he never got it going, right? Like, I guess his fall would be from going from like top two pick in rookie drafts to unrosterable in 17 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that's fair. But Travis Fulgham didn't just have like a 1 week breakout. He didn't even have a 2 week breakout. He had like five straight weeks of ridiculous numbers. It was just enough for people to buy in.
And then the people that sold him got reaped the benefits.
I just can't believe we literally have a real life example where Travis Fulgham was a very key part of a deal that involved Saquon Barkley. I'm dead serious. I'm not even being a jerk. And DK Metcalf?
Yeah.
Like, one of these things is not like the other. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. That's crazy.
I want you to know that early poll results are showing that Darren Waller, people agree with me more than they agree with you.
See, I'm sure you worded it really poorly.
You want to know who scores more points this season? Darren Waller or combined Raiders wide receiver one and wide receiver two? How would you have worded it?
No, that's fine. That's better. I thought you were going to say something stupid, but yeah.
No, I know what I'm doing. There's a reason I run the social media.
Yes. Yes, there is a reason. We're not going to go into it, but you're right.
We are 9 votes in. 9 votes. 78% of people think Darren Waller. And I've only used one account to vote. I did not use 17 burners like I've been accused of doing before.
Have you placed any of your NFL bets?
If not.
No.
Not yet.
Did you see your Cowboys are 6-point dogs?
That's not shocking.
Oh, actually, no, I'm sorry. They opened at 6-point dogs. They're actually, I see them at 7.5 on Bovada.
I think I would, I might take 7.5.
That's a,
their defense is bad. They went 0-for-4 in the preseason. Like, let's be.
Well, you know that. The preseason don't freaking matter.
Yeah.
Especially the record.
Who has a better record this year, Denver or Dallas?
Dallas.
Yeah, they get to play the Giants twice and the Eagles twice. So
the Broncos are going to be fighting for third in the West, if you ask me. Like, that's the best case scenario.
Yeah, I was like, they're the worst team in the division.
Yeah, yeah. It's between them and the Raiders. They got to figure that out. And they'll fight that out to the death. If you had to start Teddy Bridgewater, yeah, it's not looking good. Interesting. Very interesting. Tampa Bay is going to – I think they're going to have a real Super Bowl hangover, if you ask me.
Hangover. Man, you are, like, full of them today.
I don't know if I'm going to actually put my money where my mouth is on that one, but if knee-jerk reaction, I'd say Dallas. But I could see myself changing my mind after I look at numbers because I'm sure the public's all over that.
Yeah, 7.5 seems – that half point will get you.
Yeah, 7 – I mean, 6 would have been a lot to me, but – hell do I know.
Micah Parsons.
Defensive. I like Micah Parsons. I like him a lot.
Have you been watching Hard Knocks? I usually hate Hard Knocks.
I don't watch any. I haven't watched a single minute of Hard Knocks in years.
Wow.
I just haven't. I love Micah Parsons, though. Why is he funny on the show or something?
He wants to play more than they're letting him play. And I mean, I get it. I thought for sure you may have seen it, but I knew you hate Hard Knocks, so.
If I have to roster one Cowboys tight end, who should I have on my roster? Dalton Schultz or Jarwin?
Michael Gallup. Just play him
Schultz
there.
Schultz had a great year last year for him.
Yeah.
He was rosterable.
Yeah, but are you? I mean, that you talk about cannibalizing, like, yeah, that offense is going to eat into each other.
I agree.
I think CD is the clear wide receiver one there. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's gross. Like, what tight end? I think Jarwin is kind of fallen off, and Schultz stepped up, and you haven't seen much of either in the preseason. So
it's not a huge discrepancy, but Dalton Schultz is being drafted later than Blake Jarwin. I think it's by maybe a round for like those deeper tight end, those deeper leagues.
If you're doing,
I thought that was interesting, because I would take
at that point, you'd take you'd take the later guy because of the same, but
well, I would swap them easily. I would take Schultz over a couple guys that are being drafted ahead of Jarwin, to be honest with you.
Wow.
But I'm not going to bore you with late tight end talk.
Well, that's the best kind of tight end talk.
That's what I hear.
So next week, hot takes.
Yeah, next week we're going to do hot takes. We're going to talk DFS next week, which I'm super excited about.
That is your forte.
We're going to have fun with that. We'll probably do a little bit of bet and talk. I think we should talk more gambling. People like to tell us when we were wrong. Or at least they like to tell me when I was wrong.
True.
Happens
a lot, though. You should be used to it.
Oh, for sure. Are you excited as I am? We have college football this weekend. So we're going to watch some of that.
We had college football last weekend.
We did. It was glorious. But now we're going to have some like
really good
teams playing. Yeah, we got Michigan playing this weekend. Iowa, they're gonna win. They're only favored by 3.5. All sorts of stuff.
Nebraska play again?
LSU, UCLA. I mean, come on.
That's the big ones. Bama?
Bama,
Miami?
Bama's favored by 19, which is kind of weird. Usually that's more than that.
It's Miami.
I know. That's right.
They're quarterback. They got football, all those NIL deals.
Real college football starts this weekend.
Yeah.
It starts tomorrow. Be sure to take ECU, Eastern Carolina.
Is this your wager of the week?
They're like plus 300 dogs. They're going to win tomorrow straight up.
Whoa.
Straight up. So be sure to tweet us when I
want some. You want some breaking news? Tomorrow. Breaking news.
I'm all over ECU.
The Cowboys signed a running back.
Yeah.
Corey Clement.
Why?
I don't know. Just breaking news as we record this.
Okay. Well, that's a good note.
It's a good way to end it.
I guess so.
Something doesn't matter.
Corey Clement news.
There you go.
All right. So we already told you what we're going to do next week. We already told you what we did this week. And that should do it, man. Football is here, dude. Next week is the real deal. Are we doing Rent Our Renegades next year?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. My body will be ready. So we have a ton of new segments and some old segments, too.
Let's do it. I'm so stoked for Renegades.
We're going to do it, Matthew. We're going to do it all night long next week. Till then.
Who were we brought to them by?
As always, we are brought to you by DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
We'll see y'all next week.
Yep.
Thanks for hanging out with us on another episode of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Dads. Visit us at our website, DynastyDads.com, for articles, news, and notes. Dynasty Dads gear, and more. We'll be right back.